Right now, we're in the middle of the Likutei Halachos that's related to the chapter of Likutei Moran that we're in the middle of. We're in the Likutei Halachos in Chishin Mishpot, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Halva, Halacha Dalid. In our volumes of Likutei Halachos, it's page 58, the right-hand column, the bottom line on the column. And we'll try to give a short introduction because right now we're in middle of Likutei Halachos. That's in middle of a chapter on Likutei Moran that we did a while ago. But just in brief, to give a short introduction, Rabbeinu Zal in this chapter on Likutei Moran says that any person who is capable of distinguishing between different sections of the Torah will be able to distinguish, to differentiate a Jew from among people of other nations of the world. And Rabbeinu Zal explains, he proves from Psukim and from statements in the Gemara, that the main distinction, the main difference between a Jew and Lahavdil a Goy is in Torah Shebal Peh. The written Torah is something which was presented to the world. The Gemara says that when Hashem gave the Aseres Hadibrois, there's a statement in the Gemara which says, Torah b'Shabbos nitna. There is a debate in the Gemara whether Matan Torah took place on the sixth day of Sivan or on the seventh day of Sivan. But everyone admits that whatever day of the month it was on a Shabbos. And one of the commentaries points out that this conforms beautifully with the fact that there's another statement in the Gemara that when Hashem gave the Ten Commandments, they were given in all 70 languages simultaneously. Hashem presented the Ten Commandments in all 70 languages so that every single person in the world should understand them. So that in a sense, although the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael, the fact is that the written Torah, once it was written down, so that the Jews, even when they would go into Golus, they would take it with them in written form, it was something which the Goyim would also be able to get a glimpse of and look at and get to know. That's the written Torah. So we were mentioning, just as a by the way, this is how the Mefarshim point out, the Gemara says, Torah b'Shabbos nitna, the word Shabbos is Bigimatria 702. So some of the Mefarshim point out that this statement in the Gemara is an explanation or another rephrasing of the other statement. The fact that the Ten Commandments were spoken in 70 languages gives us, in a sense, a total of 700 commandments. If we take the Ten Commandments being spoken in 70 different languages, it's presented as 700 commandments, and we know that two of them were in a very unique category. The Gemara says, Anechi v'lo yilecha mipi gvura nemra. The first two of the Ten Commandments were spoken direct by Hashem. The other ones were mentioned by Moshe Rabbeinu. So two are sort of exceptional. So we have this number 702. This is what the Gemara means when it says Torah b'Shabbos nitna, that the Ten Commandments were given in the format of Shabbos. The word Shabbos is 702, which means 10 commandments in 70 languages, with two of them being outstanding. That's the symbolism in this. But in any case, Rabbeinu Zal explain that the written Torah was given to all. It's the oral Torah, the Torah Shebal Peh, that's what really differentiates and distinguishes a Yid from Lahavdil, the nations of the Goyim. Because that's the part that was left oral specifically, so that even when the Yidden would go into Golos, it would not be in a format where the Goyim would be able to steal it, or steal a glimpse at it even. This was hidden, this was passed down from generation to generation, and it was kept reserved for Bnei Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Zal says, now Torah Shebichsav means the written Torah, Torah Shebal Peh means oral. Rabbeinu Zal says that any Yid who knows how to distinguish, how to differentiate between which part of the Torah is considered to be part of the written Torah and which part is considered to be part of the oral Torah, such a person will be able to distinguish between a Yid and Lahavdil a Goy, because this is the line of demarcation between the two, is the same as the line of demarcation between which section of the Torah is written down and which section isn't. This was basically what Rabbeinu Zal presented in that chapter on Likutei Moran. Then we got involved in a discussion. The halacha that Rav Moshe Zal is talking about here is the laws of halva, the laws of loans, and specifically discussing the difference between milva bishtar and milva alper. The difference between, there are two types of loans, there are two ways that a loan could be transacted in the Torah. One way is if it's done orally, balper, where there's nothing put into writing, and that loan is considered to be a weaker type loan. Whereas if a shtar is drawn up, if a document is drawn up documenting the loan, then the loan is considered to be much more powerful in the sense that the lender can collect not just from the borrower's liquid assets, but even from real estate, property, or even from properties that are not in the borrower's hand anymore. Let's say the loan took place on January 1st, and it was payable on June 1st. And let's say sometime in February or March, this borrower sold some of his real estate that could have been used to cover this loan. Comes June 1st. And the lender sees that the borrower doesn't have what to pay back, if the loan took place on paper, if it was a milva bishtar, the lender can go to the one who bought the property from the borrower and say, you made a mistake in buying property from him because this property was already committed to my loan. It had to be available so that if this guy couldn't pay the loan with money, I could come and collect from properties or anything else that he had. This is a law in Shulchan Aruch, which Rav Nosson Zal was discussing in association with this chapter on Likutei Moran. And if anybody would want what we discussed till now, Baruch Hashem, it's on tape. We're going to pick up from where we left off last time. Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas Torah shebichsav v'Torah shebal peh." What we just explained earlier in this column is the difference between Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. Ki Torah shebichsav zeh bechinas ikor ha'emuna bo yisporach. Torah shebichsav, the written Torah, is where it presents the basic emuna in Hashem, a concept of a basic belief in a deity, in a super being that created everything. V'Torah shebal peh zeh bechinas ha'emuna b'protius. Whereas Torah shebal peh, the Gemara is where the faith starts getting very detailed. It starts getting into particulars. Lahamin shekol ha'anhogos ha'olam b'proti protius b'choleis ha'koil al yodo yisporach levad. That's where, once the person gets into the Gemara, that's where the emuna, the faith, becomes refined. Where it's no longer just a basic belief that there is a Hashem, but it's where the person starts getting educated into believing that every single detail within creation is being managed and coordinated by Hashem. Shezehu b'chinas Torah shebal peh shemeva'eres kol dinei v'darkei ha'Torah b'protius. This is the function of the Torah shebal peh, just as we know the Torah shebal peh to be that part of the Torah that explains in detail everything that's found in the Torah shebichsav. That's how a person can be zeichet to a detailed faith in Hashem. Avol b'Torah shebichsav, whereas a person who's limited only to the written Torah, mevura hakol rak b'derech klal. It's only, the faith in Hashem is only presented in general terms. Now note, we had explained earlier that basically, if a person wanted to sum up the whole Torah, all 613 commandments, in one word, the Gemara says there was a person that once did that. The Gemara says at the end of Makkos that the rabbis tried to summarize the Torah. King David summarized it in 11 points. There's one chapter in Tehillim where he says, well, a person wants to be zeichet Olam Haba, what he has to do is the following things. And he lists, I believe it's 11 or 13 items. So the Gemara says that that's one version of summing up the whole Torah. Then the Gemara says that Chavaku Kanovi came along, the He'emidon Alachas. He summarized the whole written Torah in one sentence. What's the sentence? There's a sentence in the Navi that says, V'tzadik be'emunasoi yichye. A tzadik lives with his faith. Now note, tzadik means somebody that's A1, somebody that's 100%, somebody that gets 100 on the test. Note, it doesn't say Vitzadik and then list 613 things. It says Vitzadik be'emunoso yichya. A tzadik lives with his faith. What does that teach us? That teaches that if you wanted to sum up the whole Torah in a word, it's all faith. The Torah is faith. And as the Pasuk says, Kol mitzvaysecho emuna. All the mitzvahs of Hashem are faith. A synonym to the whole collection of all the mitzvahs of the Torah is faith. If we understand it that way, if a synonym for the Torah is faith, then how do we make the distinction between the written Torah versus the oral Torah in terms of faith? If the written Torah represents faith, what does the oral Torah represent? That's the distinction that Rav Moshe Zal is making here. Just as if we discuss the mitzvahs are presented in a very general, superficial way in the written Torah, in the Torah Shebichtav. If you look in the written Torah, the mitzvah of tefillin is described in one line. You enter into the oral Torah, you find hundreds of pages. In Menachos and other places in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, you find hundreds of pages discussing this mitzvah of tefillin. So we see that the oral Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh versus the written Torah is presenting the concept in a very general way. The oral Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is getting into all the details, all the nitty-gritty of the mitzvahs. So too, if we want to look at the written Torah as emunah and the oral Torah as emunah, what's the difference between the two? That a person studying the written Torah would receive a concept of emunah in a general way, in a superficial way. Whereas a person who's zeichet to the limud of Torah Shebaal Peh, that's where the emunah becomes much more detailed. He gets into the details, into the particulars of faith in Hashem, where it's no longer a superficial faith, I believe that there's a Hashem, period, but it's a belief, a very refined, specific faith in Hashem that applies and pertains to every single detailed aspect of life. That's how Rav Nosson Zal is explaining it here in this part of the halacha. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein mishom nimsheches v'amunah bechlal. Therefore, since in the Torah Shebichtav, everything is explained in a superficial way, therefore, if a person is drawing his faith from the Torah Shebichtav alone, his faith is going to be a superficial faith. Ki ho emuna nimsheches kefi ha-Torah. The emuna, the faith that a person draws on to himself, is according to what part of the Torah he's learning. The faith comes from the Torah. So if a person is learning a part of the Torah that's presented in a very superficial way, the faith that he's going to draw from it, the emunah that he's going to draw from it, is also going to be a superficial emunah. The Alkein, and therefore, ha'umais, the nations of the world, she'ein lohem rak ha'emunah ha'klolius bo'yisborach, where they only possess a general faith in a Hashem, a superficial faith in a concept of a Hashem, avol biprotius, but when it comes to specifics, when it comes to details, yesh lohem kfirois gedolois, there's a tremendous lack of belief, there's a tremendous atheism in believing in all the specific details of creation. Alkein, therefore, ikar achizoson bebechinas Torah Shebichtav. This shows that their main hookup to Hashem is only via the Torah Shebichtav, via the written Torah. Shehi bechinas emunah haklolius, which corresponds to a concept of a general type faith, a superficial type faith. Avol al Torah Shebaal Peh chilkim ma'oid. But when it comes to the written Torah, that they disagree with, when it comes to the oral Torah, that they disagree with vehemently, that they don't accept. The word of the Gemara, they don't accept. Scientific fact is constantly running into conflicts with the words of the Gemara. Why? Machmashehi Bechinas Emuna Beprotius, because of the fact that the Gemara of the Torah Shebal Peh represents specific faith, detailed faith. Therefore, Shehem Rechaikim Imeno, which they are very far from, the Kaifram Bo, and they contradict it, Kanal, as we explained earlier, that's why we find the situation to be as it is. But Rav Nosson Zalman says, Ube Emes, in reality, Shnehem Echod. These two are actually one. These two Torahs are actually one Torah. Haino Torah Shebechsav, a Torah Shebal Peh, the written Torah and the oral Torah, Shehem Bechinas Emuna Bechlal, the Emuna Beprat, which represent a superficial Emuna versus a specific Emuna, Shnehem Echod. They are both one. V'i'ef shelo zeh b'lo zeh, and it's impossible for one to exist without the other. If a Jew tries to latch on to one of these without the other, it's meaningless. V'al kein, and therefore, b'emes, in truth, ha'umais, the nations of the world, v'ha'kaifrim, and the atheists, she'kaifrim be'emuna ha'protius, who don't believe in the specific faith in Hashem, v'aymrim deis zara, and they come up with all their own ideas about how Hashem conducts the world, whether they believe in a father and a son and a mother and a daughter-in-law, all the different things that they believe in, or they believe in intermediaries with the sun itself or other beings which serve as intermediaries between Hashem and the world, chas v'shalom. They don't believe in hashgacha prati, that Hashem himself is supervising and overseeing every single thing that takes place. Al kein, therefore, gam emuna haklolius nifgamo etzlamoid. Therefore, even their superficial faith is very weak, and it's got a lot of holes in it. It's very defective. Rak shebehelem godol yesh lohem eize nekudo shel emuna haikris. It's just that in a very, very, very hidden, concealed way, they do have a tiny drop of faith in Hashem. In other words, in a pure way. There is a tiny, tiny nekuda teva in their concept of emuna. And so too, even when it comes to the written Torah, we find that they don't believe in it completely. Why? Because we don't find them sticking to the rules of the written Torah evenly, completely, 100%. It's just that they're willing to learn. They do learn the Old Testament, but it's not as if they play by all of its rules. V'yesh lohem ma'at achizabo, they do have a small association with it, a small connection with it. Avol mi Torah Shebal Peh, but from the Torah Shebal Peh, she'i b'chinas emuna ha'protius, which represents the more specific faith in Hashem, the more detailed faith in Hashem, from that, heim rechaikim legamri, they are completely removed from it. V'chel ken oleho ma'oid, and they disagree with it completely. V'al kein, and therefore, ikar ha'hevdol v'ha'yisrael, shel Yisrael al ha'umais, therefore the main difference and the main superiority of the Jews versus the nations of the world, hu b'bechinas Torah Shebal Peh, is only in the written, the oral Torah, shehi b'chinas emuna ha'protius, which means in this detailed faith in Hashem. So note here, Rav Nosson Zalman is talking very, very specific and saying that if a person says, for example, if a person says, well, I believe in Hashem, that kind of thing, but he doesn't obey all the particulars that the mitzvahs of the Torah, his emuna is on a level of goyim, rachmona litzlan. His acceptance of faith in Hashem in a superficial way, that's something that even the goyim are capable of doing. They also have a concept of an association with a general type of emunah Hashem. But the thing that distinguishes, when we say hamavdil ben kodesh lechol, ben or lechoshech, ben Yisrael lo'amim, that item that makes the real separation, the real demarcation between the Yidden and Lahavdol the Goyim, is only the Emunah B'Protius, where the Emunah starts getting very detailed, where we start getting into the Torah Shebal Peh, the observance of the Torah, the observance of the mitzvah of Tefillin, exactly as it's presented in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, and the observance of all of those mitzvahs, That's really the distinguishing factor between the Yidden and Lahavdil Lagoyim. Now we continue. Now Rav Moshe Zal explains, V'zeh kol avoidosenu be'elu hayome me Rosh Hashanah Shmini Atzeres. This is the main service of a Jew from in the special days, from Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres, which is Lahashlim v'livnois es bechinas malchus emuno bebechinas parts of sholim b'shleimus. To build up the malchus of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem, which is synonymous with building up one's faith in Hashem. We mentioned many times that malchus and emuna are synonymous. Just like malchus is an attribute which has no light of its own, kingdom, a king is nothing in his own right. It's only the fact that the people accept him as king, that's what makes him a king. Whereas a smart person, or a strong person, or a kind person, these qualities are within the person himself. Kingdom is something that's not part of the individual. It's something that's given to him by others. By their acknowledging him as king and accepting him as king, that's what makes him a king. So too, faith. Faith is something which we also describe as something that has no light of its own. It has nothing of itself. It has no das to it. It's something which receives from wisdom. A person uses his wisdom to figure out what to believe in. But the item of faith itself, emuna itself, is something that has no light of its own whatsoever. So these two terms are used synonymously. So if we say that these days, from Rosh Hashanah till Shmini Atzeres, are days when we're emphasizing the Malchus of Hashem, the Kingdom of Hashem, where we say HaMelech HaKodosh, HaMelech HaMishpot, and if you look at the Shmoneh Esrei's of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Yom Tovim, we're emphasizing very much the Kingdom of Hashem, it means automatically that goes synonymous with faith in Hashem, that these are days when we're trying to build up our faith in Hashem more so than any other time in the year. Hainu ma shehoiso bebechinas nekudo, that which was originally just a tiny dot. Shezois hanekudo shel hoemuno nesheres tamid, this tiny dot of faith is something that's always there. Va'afilu umayis ha'olam maidim be'ikar nekudas ha'amuna. And even the nations of the world admit and recognize a concept of a basic faith in a Hashem, in a creator, meaning sheyesh yochid nimtze yisborach, that there is a single individual being that created everything. Aval onu tzrichen livnois ulahashlim es bachinas nekudas v'emuna shetihye b'shleimus. We have to see to it to build up this dot and to make it grow, to raise it up, to fill it out, to be a complete partzuf, which means picture taking something that's a tiny dot and filling it out to form like a face. A face is not a dot anymore, it's like a much larger size item. This is the term that's used in the Sifrei Kabbalah when we want to take something that's small and bring a shleimus to it. Each one of the spheroids is referred to as a partzuf sholem, a complete face. So Rabbeinu Zal says, "Hainu shetigdal v'tizgale emunosoy le'in koel." We're looking to increase and reveal Hashem, faith in Hashem to all. Shekol hanhoga soilam b'chol eis v'rega b'protius hakoel al yodei sporach b'yatzmoi. To get all the people to realize that anything and everything that's taking place in this world is all by Hashem. It's Hashem who's behind all of it. Ki malchusoi bakoil mosholo. Hashem's kingdom rules over everything. Now this is a very, very important pasuk that's quoted many, many times in the Sifrei Kabbalah, this pasuk of malchusoi bakoil mosholo, that this is the main concept of the Yomim Tovim, of this time frame from Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres, and we highlight it, especially on Hoshana Rabbah, when we say, Laman das kol amei ha'oretz ki Hashem hu elikim einoid, that we want to let the whole world know that Hashem is king. That concept. Umalchusai bakoil mashallah. Hashem rules over everything. We know this term bakoil, represents the Malchus of Hashem, because the Malchus is the Shem Bon. Within the four different combinations of Yud Kei Vov Kei Av Sod Mo Bon, it's Bon that represents the Malchus. You'll note that the vowels in the Shem Adni, Aleph Talit Nun Yud, A, Do, and then Noi, the vowels, under the Aleph you have a Chatav Patach, which is a line and two dots. The line represents a Vav, the dot represents like a Yud. So the Nekudas under the Aleph are two dots and a Vav, which is 26. The Do is another dot, is 36. And Noi, a Kamatz, is a line and a dot. So that the Kamatz is again 16. 36 and 16 gives us 52. The Nekudas under the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud correspond to the Tziruf of Yud Kei Vav Kei that represents Malchus. Of Sog Mo Bon, Bon is Malchus. That's this Umalchusei Bakoil Mosholo. That's the Viato Meshel Bakoil. You Hashem rule over everything. That Bakoil is always emphasizing this name of Hashem that represents the kingdom of Hashem. Vezeh Bechinas Shleimus HaTorah. This concept of completing one's faith in Hashem is also a concept of completing the Torah. Hainu shleimus Torah shebichsav, aydei Torah shebal peh. A concept of bringing a fullness into the written Torah via the oral Torah. V'chanal, as we explained earlier, v'aydei zeh nizke lahakir mailas v'chashivas Yisrael shenevdolim min ha'umais. And by doing this, by being able to bring together the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Torah Shebichsav, this is how we'll be able to differentiate a Yid, to be able to see the Maila, the advantage of a Yid over the other nations of the world. Bechinas Torah Shebaal Peh. And once we do that, once we're able to show the difference, the uniqueness of a Yid among the Goyim, that in itself can nullify all evil decrees against the Jews. Why? Rabbi Nosson Zal is about to explain based on something that Rabbeinu Zal says in Sefer Hamidos. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki Isa b'sefer ho'alef beis, it's brought in the Sefer Hamidos, She'ikar koyach ha'umay soylam, Ligzor gzeirois ha'Yisrael chas v'sholem. The main power that the nations of the Goyim have to bring about evil decrees from Hashem against the Yidden, Hu'al yidei shalemdim Tanakh, is through the fact that the Goyim learn Tanakh. When the Goyim learn the Torah Shebichsav, this is what gives them power to wield against the Yidden. Hainu, Rabbi Nosson Zal explains, Kishi Yisrael chaitim chas v'sholem, when the Yidden commit sins, v'chol hachatoim heim b'chinas pegam ho'emuna, and all the sins, any time a Jew commits a sin, it represents an infraction in his faith in Hashem, it represents a defect in emuna, kemo shekosu b'sefer aleph beis, as Rabbi Nosson Zal brings in Sefer Hamidos, v'zel eshenoi, these are the words of Rabbi Nosson Zal, Pesha machnis kfira ba'odom. A sin injects an atheism into the person. Every single sin that a Jew does, you picture it as a needle, as an injection of atheism into the person, meaning this is pulling him away from Hashem. This is injecting, this is subtracting from his faith in Hashem. Ki kol mitzvos ha-Torah heim b'chinas emuna kanal. Because all the mitzvahs are emuna. We quoted earlier the pasuk, kol mitzvosecho emuna. V'chol mishe poigem beiz ha-mitzvah, and any person who commits something against a mitzvah, he breaks a law in the Torah, hein ase, hein lois ase, whether it be a do or a don't mitzvah, hu poigem be'emuna. He's actually committing a sin, a transgression against faith. If the mitzvahs represent emuna, then an infraction against the mitzvahs is an infraction against faith in Hashem. V'ikar ha-pigam shel Yisrael hu bebechinas emuna ha-protius hanal. The main problem of the Jews, the main defectiveness of the Jews, is when they're lacking in the Torah Shebaal Peh, when they're weak in this Torah Shebaal Peh, which represents the detailed, specific faith in Hashem. Shezehu Ikar Kedushas Yisrael. This is the main holiness of the Jewish nation. Ubozeh Heimuvdola Mishar Hamim Kanal. And this is what differentiates them from among the nations of the world. Because that basic dot of faith in Hashem, that's something that always remains. That can never be taken away completely. Even the Goyim possess that. The Ikar HaPegam, the main defectiveness, is Bebechinas Emunah HaProtius, Bechinat Torah Shebal Peh. Because whenever we talk about a Jew losing his faith or his faith weakening, usually we're not talking about an infraction against the Torah Shebichsav, we're talking about an infraction against the Torah Shebal Peh. V'zeh b'chinas ma'shekosov b'ksovim b'kama mekoymois. Rav Nosson Zal says, now you'll understand the terminology that's used in the Kisvei Arizal in many, many places. Shekishayesh pigomim bo'ilam. The Arizal says that when there are defects in the world, azai ho'emuna b'chinas malchus niktenes, the malchus becomes smaller, shenistalken mimeno kol hates spherois, all the 9 spherois that compose the malchus leave the malchus, v'nisheres b'chinas nekudo echod levad, and it remains one tiny dot, kanal, as we explained, v'hovein, and understand this. Rav Moshe Zal here is touching on one of the deepest items that's mentioned in the Kisvei Arizal. The fact that we mention many times that each one of the spheroids is actually a combination of all 10. Just like now when we're saying Sfiras Omer, we said tonight is the 9th day of the Omer, which represents Gevura Shebigvura, Gevura of Gevura. Last night was Chesed Shebigvura. Tomorrow night will be Teferet, and etc., etc. What does this mean? This means that each one of the 10 attributes of Hashem actually is a mix of all 10. So that within Chesed, there are 10 elements of Chesed. There's the Chachma of Chesed, the Bina of Chesed, and so on and so forth. Therefore, the Arizal says that you should know that basically, whenever a Jew commits any type of sin, what happens is that within the Malchus, which is the lowest attribute of Hashem, which is composed of its own 10 spheroids, there's a Chachma of a Keser of Malchus, a Chachma of Malchus, a Bina, etc., etc. The Arizal says that what happens is when a Jew commits a Pigam, 9 out of the 10 elements of Malchus, 9 out of the 10 elements that are found within the Malchus leave it, and all that's left is like one dot. In other words, if we would picture the Malchus as being a jigsaw puzzle of a face made up of 10 pieces, picture 9 parts of the puzzle are taken away, and all that's left is one piece. Just the keser of the Malchus. If you recall, we explained this a few months ago in a shiur that we had. We went into this in detail, where we were talking about the Torah Ayeh HaSeliyola at that time. We explained this concept. We actually quoted the section, the Kisvei Arizal, that discusses this. Rav Moshe Zal says, this super deep concept relating to the spheroids, now we just showed you how this could be explained in practical terms. Because the term Malchus is always synonymous with Emunah, faith in Hashem. So that you should know that if the Arizal says that when a person commits a sin, and we say that 9/10 of the Malchus disappears, it means that 9/10 of the person's faith disappears. It means that a sin injects, it's like the person shooting up with atheism, literally. So that automatically his emunah is shrinking, it's shrinking to the level of a tiny dot. What was originally a full-size ball, a full round thing like, picture it shrinking into a tiny dot. That's what happens. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, v'zeh ikar hadin shel Rosh Hashanah. This is the main concept of the judgment that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Va'oz Esav bo mitzedoi. That's when Esav comes from his hunt. We find that that day, The Gemara says the day when Esav HaRosha came from his hunt, when he had just killed Nimrod and taken away from him the big day Chamudais, and Yaakov Avinu was sitting Shiva for the passing of his grandfather Avram Avinu, who had passed away just before that, so that he shouldn't see the suffering of Esav turning bar mitzvah and turning into the hara that he turned in at that point in time. All of that took place on Rosh Hashanah. That was the day when Esav bo mitzvah. Esav comes from his hunt. He returns from his hunt victorious, in a sense. This represents the power that's opposing the Jewish nation. Kemuva b'Zohar HaKadosh, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, that this term Esav bo mitzvah, shebo lekatreg al Yisrael, this represents the Satan coming to prosecute the Jews. Ki Omer, the Satan says, Shechas v'sholom kechol hagoyim beis Yehuda, that the Jewish nation is just like all the other nations in the world. They're no different. Me'achar shechotu upogmu be'emuno haprotius, since the Jews have committed sins, and therefore their emuna protius, their specific emuna, their detailed emuna in Hashem, has become defective. B'chinas Torah shebal peh, which corresponds to the Torah Shebal Peh, V'loy nishar lohem kiyem nekudas emuna haklolius, and all that remains in them right now is this generalized type of emuna, this superficial faith in Hashem, b'chinas Torah Shebechsav, which corresponds to the written Torah, sheshom yesh gam lo ha'umoy tzoylom achiza, in that all the other nations of the world also have an association with it. So once a Jew commits a pigam against the Torah Shebal Peh, where he cuts off his tie to the Torah Shebal Peh, now there's nothing anymore to make him any different, to have him be considered any different from the other nations in the world. The Arkane, and therefore, Heim Roitzim Lakatreg Al Yisrael, the Goyim, the nations of the Goyim, or the Sar Shel Esav, the angel who's representing Esav in heaven, wants to come and prosecute the Jews and say, Mahu Chashivusam, what makes them special? Umipnei Ma Bochar Hashem Bohemi Kol Hamim, why are the Jews considered any type of chosen people? Me'achar shepogmu be'emuna, once they've showed a defect in emuna, b'chinas Torah Shebal Peh, v'alkein heim roitzim lahashvois chashvil sholem Yisrael kishar humais. Therefore, the goyim want to make it appear to Hashem as if the Jews are just the same as any other nation. V'limshal aleihem, and therefore, it's feasible for one of these other nations to rule over the Yidden, and to see to it to try to get evil decrees issued against the Jews. Because the Goyim also have a connection, an association with the written Torah. Period. This is the whole concept of this judgment that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. When we say that there's a judgment and the Satan comes to be mekatreg, what's his kitrug? What's all he's trying to accomplish? He's trying to make the Jews not look special in Hashem's eyes. We're going to try to say v'roimam tonu mikol hashonos, that Hashem has made us special. With a kivono v'charta v'isonu kidashta, the Satan's going to try to knock that out, to make us look no better, no different than any other nation in the world. Why? Because of the fact that we've broken laws in the Torah, specifically in the Torah Shebal Peh. That's the main thing that he's going to try to take a pot shot at. Once we've done that, we've burned, we've destroyed, we've eliminated that item which distinguishes us from the other nations of the world. Avol b'emes, but in truth, hevel yiftze pihem, their mouths are full of nothingness. Because even after the Yidden commit sins, Adayin yesh hevdol godol beinehem l'shar hum yisraelam, there still is a tremendous worlds of difference between the Jews and the other nations of the world. Ki afilu poishei Yisrael malei mitzvos karimoin, even the worst sinners of the Jews, the Gemara says, are loaded with mitzvos like a pomegranate. There's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim which says, Kefelach horimoin rakoseich, the emptiest among you, the reikonin shebuch, malei mitzvos karimoin. Hashem says the smallest Jew, the least religious Jew, is loaded with mitzvos like a pomegranate. So if that's the case, even after a Jew commits sins, there still is worlds of difference between him and Lahavdil v'goyim. V'loizu afsu. Not only that, ki gam ha'avoyna shel Yisrael nishapchen lezechuyos ha'yidei ha'tshuva sho'isim b'rosh Hashanah v'chol asar simei tshuva. Not only that point, not only is the point that even after the Jews commit sins, because Kanayna Hora they've performed so many mitzvahs, it makes it that the mitzvahs far outweigh the sins. Not only that, but even if the Jews did commit sins, when they come through on Rosh Hashanah and during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and they do tshuva, the tshuva, the Gemara says, converts the sins into mitzvahs, so that there still is a very, very, very big difference between the Jews and Lahavdil the Goyim. So Rav Nosson Zal now is trying to explain what the kitrug is that takes place on Rosh Hashanah, what's the Satan trying to accomplish, and how we're going to deal with that. And that's what he's about to explain now in the next paragraph. What we do on Rosh Hashanah that fixes up anything we might have done wrong during the year. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh b'chinas ha'nesiro shenasa b'Rosh Hashanah. This is the concept of the slicing that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. We explained this once before, the fact that just as when Hashem created Adam and Chava, the Gemara says they were created as Siamese twins, joined by the back, and in that manner there was no way for them to be able to reproduce, to be able to have children, because in order for a Yichud to take place, they have to be ponim b'ponim. Therefore, Hashem put Adam and Chava asleep, Hashem imposed a tardema on them, asleep, and during that sleep, he separated them, he sliced them in the back, he severed the tie that was hooking them together back to back, so that they were able now to come ponim b'ponim, face to face, and they were able to mate, and from that they were able to produce children, they were able to generate the world, to propagate the human race. So too, kaviyachol, by the Shechina, it's brought that whenever there is din, whenever there is tremendous din in the world, just as we mentioned this before, that when it comes to self-defense, you're taught in karate and these other sports, that whenever you're fighting a team of opponents, a group of opponents, the main thing you have to watch out is never to leave your back open. You never want to leave a situation where somebody could come from behind you and hit you. So you always try, if there's a wall or a railing or anything like that, you always try to put your back to the wall or back to the railing, so at most, you could only be attacked from three sides. You're eliminating 25% of the problem right there, that on one side they can't get to you. So too, if there are two people, what if there are two people fighting a group of people? Two people who know self-defense, the most correct way for them to line themselves up with each other is back to back, so that neither one's back is exposed. Each one's back is protected, and they're able to handle the opposition perfectly without getting any surprise. Somebody comes from behind, there's no defense. If you don't have eyes in back of your head, there's no way you can defend yourself from that. Kaviyachol, this concept is presented about Hashem and the Shechina. Again, this is just kaviyochol. We don't picture these two as separate entities in heaven, but this is the way it's presented in the Sifrei Kabbalah, as if there were a Hashem and the Shechina being the Malchus of Hashem, the Shechina being the sensitive item that's susceptible to attack from the klipos, from the tumah. And whenever the Shechina sees that it's being presented with a major threat, that it's being threatened, that because of the fact that the Jews have committed many sins, Rachmon al-Assam, which would allow the Klipas an opening to be able to draw from the Shechina, what the Shechina does as a defense mechanism is that it attaches itself to Ze'er Anpin, to its husband, Ocher Be'Ocher, back to back. these two get locked together back to back, so that in a sense, kaviyochel, this is the way it's presented in the Sifrei Kabbalah, kaviyochel, this is a defense mechanism so that the klipos should not be able to draw from the back of the Shechina. Just as we know, the Shechina itself represents din, if we say that there's a front and back to the Shechina, the front of the Shechina compared to the back is always a concept of more din, so that the back of the Shechina is the most severe type of din possible. So that when the Shechina sees that it's a time of danger, it tries to protect its back, in a sense, by joining together with its Baal, with Zeranpin, back to back, thereby leaving the back protected completely. This is what happens whenever there's din, such as on Rosh Hashanah, which is called a Yom HaDin. This is what takes place. Now, in order for this to be, just as by Adam and Chava, in order for this to be fixed up, and in order for it to be able to become ponim upon him, there has to be a nasira, a slicing has to take place to sever this bond that's clamping them together back to back, and to allow them to be able to turn face to face in order to be able to mate, so that there should be a yichud, a heavenly mating, which could bring about, which could result only in good things, and bringing out shefa, bringing forth shefa to the world. And we know that that's very needed on Rosh Hashanah, because on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, is when the shefa for the whole year is declared. That's when they declare what the parnos and everything's going to be for the whole year. So it's extremely necessary to be able to afford a yichud to take place on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore it's brought that kaviyochel Hashem imposes a tardema, a deep sleep, kaviyochel, on the Shechina and on this Shechina and Zeranpin. This tardema is imposed, and the mission, one of the purposes of the blowing shofar, is to awaken the Shechina from this sleep that's imposed on it, just like Adam and Chava were put to sleep in order for this Nesira to take place, so too the Shechina Kaviyochel goes into a relative state of sleep, in a sense, to allow this Nesira to take place, and the blowing of the Shofar is to awaken the Shechina from this sleep in order to allow this Yichud of Ponim B'Ponim to be able to take place. Now, this is all mentioned in Kabbalistic terminology. Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain how this relates to every single Jew's Avodas Hashem. How this isn't just hocus pocus. This isn't just something that's being said that would make a nice movie, Chas V'Shalom, Rachmon Aleslan. This is being said as things that apply to our service of Hashem in very practical terms, as Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain. V'zeh b'chinas ha-nesiro shenasa b'Rosh Hashanah. This is the concept of the slicing that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Ki Torah shebichsav, Torah shebal peh, hein bechinas teferes u'malchus. Torah, the written Torah and the oral Torah represent Ze'er Anpin and the Shechina. This is something that's mentioned many, many, many times in the Zohar HaKadosh, that Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh correspond to a concept of male and female. And this is why, just as we have a law in Shulchan Aruch that says that if a husband and wife mate in a format where the wife is on top, that constitutes a death penalty, so too we have a corresponding mitzvah that when you have a chumash and a gemara, it's osur to put the gemara on top of the chumash. Why? The Zohar HaKadosh says it's the same law. The chumash represents the male. Since the Torah shebichsav is a higher level than the Torah shebal peh, then relatively the chumash represents a concept of a male. The Gemara represents a concept of a female, because the Gemara receives from the Chumash. Just as the female receives from the male, so too the Gemara is nothing on its own except what it draws from the Chumash. If a rabbi would try to invent his own law without a basis in the written Torah, that's kfira, that's atheism. The Gemara says in Tainus, Leka dovod la remisa by Raisa, there's nothing in that Gemara that doesn't have a basis in the Chumash. So that therefore, the Chumash and the Gemara are relatively a concept of male and female, which correspond to Tiferes and Malchus. We mentioned many times that if you want to summarize Zeranpin as one sphera, it's usually summarized as Tiferes And the Shechina is usually referred to basically as Malchus. So when we talk about the Yichud of Kodshei Baruch Hu and the Shechina, another way of saying it is the Yichud of Tiferes and Malchus. That's usually the terminology that's used. Shebetchila heim bechinas ochor ba'ochor. In the beginning, these two are back-to-back. V'koisel echot l'shnehem. And they share one wall, in a sense. You understand? They're connected together. This is all kaviyochol. This is not literal terminology. It's as if we would picture these as being two human beings sharing one wall. In other words, that there's nothing to separate them, nothing to allow anybody to get in and back of either one of them and attack, chas v'shalom. Dahainu shetar shebachsavatar shebalpeh shneihem nechlolim o meuravim yachad. The written Torah and the oral Torah are connected and mixed together. V'ze machmas pegomei ha'ilam. This is because of the sins of the whole world. Machmas hanitzutzais she'adayan lo nisbaru mechet odom arishim kemavur bekavonois. Because of these sparks that were not yet fixed up. From the Pagam of Adam Arishain, when Adam and Chavo ate from the Eitz Hadas, they caused many sparks of Kedusha to get messed up. And one of the purposes of all the mitzvahs that we do is to fix up those sparks of Kedusha. And as long as these sparks are not completely fixed up, it causes a bilbul, a confusion, between the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Shemach Mazeh Chayzrim B'chol Shana L'tchilas Mitzyuson. Because of the fact that this has not yet been perfected, this has not yet been fixed up completely, this is why each and every single year it reverts back to its original state, Shehoya Ochor Ba'ochor, which was back to back. When these two were originally created, they were back to back, and because of the fact that this is never fixed up completely, therefore every year when Rosh Hashanah swings around again, the stage gets reset. The whole picture goes back to the beginning, and we start again, making a new attempt at trying to fix this thing up. Each and every single year, we have to go back and try to rescue these sparks of Kedusha from among the klipos. And before this, in order for this procedure to get started up again, heim bechinas ochor ba'ochor, in order to reset the pieces. It's like you want to start a new game of chess, lahavdil, or something like that. In order to start again, you got to reset all the pieces. Here also, each and every single year, in order for the Jews to get a new shot at fixing things up, kavyochol Hashem has to first set all the pieces back into place the way they were originally, and now you get another shot at trying to do it the right way. Let's see if you can do it right this time. And before this correcting process is started, they are back to back. The written Torah and the oral Torah are locked together. And when they are in this state, when the written Torah and oral Torah are locked together in this way, any Torah that a person draws from this combination is a Torah where the two are mixed together, ve'ein nikor bein Torah shebichsav l'Torah shebal peh. And there's no distinction between what part is Torah shebichsav, what part is Torah shebal peh. Va'azai ein yodin ma'lichtoiv ma'shelaylichtoiv. And then at that point in time, we don't know what you are permitted to write down, what you're not permitted to write down. Va'azai ein nikar ben Yisrael lo amin. And at that point in time, there's no way to distinguish between the Jews and lahavdil the other nations of the world, because it's all locked up together. There's no line of demarcation. Canal, as we explained earlier, va'azai nisayir hadin v'hakitruk shel asidrachro shewesov, and this is why there's aroused this prosecution each and every single year on Rosh Hashanah. The prosecuting attorney comes back and says, "Hey, man, what's the difference? What's the difference between the Jews and Lahavdil of the Goyim? Because the minute these pieces get reset, where they're back to back, and now the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh are locked together, where there is no distinction between them, that means there's no distinction between the Jew and the Goy, now they can come and complain. What makes them any better? Why should they be treated any differently? Since it's not recognizable any superiority of the Yidden, because at that point in time, the Yidden don't know what they are permitted to write down, what they're not permitted to write down. Because at that point in time, the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh are so locked together in a way that we can't differentiate, we can't figure out which is which. We can't make any distinction between which part is Torah Shebichsav, which part is Torah Shebalpeh, which is a very important distinction that has to be made. Rabbi Nizal says, Va'azai Yisrael tzoyakin kol ha'koylois meim ke'amokim. Then what happens is that the Yidden scream from the depths of their hearts, bebechinas mima'amakim k'rosicha Hashem, which we say on Rosh Hashanah and the Esrosi Meitshuva, that we call out to Hashem from the depths of our hearts. Umarbin betfilois utchinois utzaokois v'shavois l'Hashem Yisborach. We pray all kinds of tfilois and screaming and pleading and begging to Hashem, v'toikim b'shofar, and we bless the shofar, v'azai ma'irurim ha'koylois shel matan Torah. And what we are trying to arouse them on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, with all this screaming, we're trying to arouse all the sounds, all the blasting sounds that were present when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews on Har Sinai. Va'azai chayzrin umamshichin ha-Torah mechodosh behizchatshus nifla. And then on Rosh Hashanah, we draw the Torah onto this world. We receive the Torah once again in a fantastic new way. Betosfis Oyer Yoser, with a fantastic glow of additional light. V'alkein, and therefore you find a very interesting thing, that in the Shmon Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, V'alkein mazkirin b'Rosh Hashanah kol inyan matan Torah b'birchas shofros. If you look in the Shmon Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, it's divided into three sections, Malchios, Zichroinois, and Shofros. The Shmon Esrei itself is divided where the blessings discuss three different topics. One bracha ends with the term Malchus, the other one ends with Kiata Zecher Kol HaMishkochos, and the other bracha is Shofros, Kiata Shemea Koyo Shofor Umazin Trua, etc. So therefore, you'll note interestingly that in the bracha that deals with Shofor, it discusses Atonigleso Banan Kvoidecho Al Har Sinai. It discusses the whole giving of the Torah on Har Sinai. What does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Why in the middle of Rosh Hashanah are we starting to discuss the holiday of Shavuos? Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews on Shavuos. Why do we discuss the act of Hashem giving the Torah to the Jews on Rosh Hashanah? Rav Nosazal explains, Va'oz al yidei koil shofar, through the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shehu bechinas koilois shel matan Torah, that corresponds with the blasting of the shofar that took place when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews on Shavuos, al yidei zeh nasis hanasira. That's what causes this slicing to take place. Kimavur bekavonus, which, as is explained in the Kisvi Arizal, Hainu Sheoz Nisar Vinivne Bechinas Malchus Emuna Shehi Bechinas Torah Shebalpeh. Just as when the severing was done between Adam and Chava, it's expressed that Hashem built up Chava. Vayiven Hashem es Hatzela. Hashem built up Chava. That's the way it's presented here too. The slicing takes place in a way where the Torah Shebal Peh should be able to be built up. The Torah Shebal Peh, which represents the female, which represents the Shechina, which represents the Malchus, that's the thing that needs building up. Dahainu shechayzrin umamshichin oz oir ha-Torah behizchatshus nifla. The Jews are zeichet to receive the Torah again on Rosh Hashanah in a very new and fantastic way. Ad shezeichin lenaser Torah Shebal Peh mi Torah Shebichsav, to the point where we're able to slice away the Torah Shebal Peh, to sever the Torah Shebal Peh from the Torah Shebichsav. Kidei shenizke lahakir bein b'chinas Torah Shebichsav u'bein Torah Shebal Peh. So that we should be able to differentiate between the two. We should be able to distinguish between what's Torah Shebichsav and what's Torah Shebal Peh. Leida malichtoiv u'malaylichtoiv. To be able to know which part of Torah we are permitted to write down, which part we are permitted to publicize, to make available for all nations of the world, and which part we're not. V'azai yoydin lahakir afilu ha-gorua shebi-Yisrael bein alofim mei-homois. And that's what allows us to be able to distinguish the lowest, lowest Jew among a crowd of thousands of goyim, and he'll still stand apart. Why? Once we're able to distinguish between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav, we know that even when a Jew would commit thousands of sins, he still has that advantage of the Torah Shebal Peh. This is what makes him part of the Jewish nation, the fact that he has some type of achiza, some type of connection to the Torah Shebal Peh, which the goyim do not have at all, whatsoever. V'azai ha'koil royin mailas v'chashivus v'dulas Yisrael am kodosh hanivchar mikol hamim. And that's what allows all to be able to recognize the superiority, the uniqueness of the Jews among all nations of the world. The al kein, and therefore, oz al yedei koil shofar, through the blowing of the shofar, nimtokin v'nizbatlin kol hadinim Yisrael. This is why we say that it's the blowing of the shofar that's able to sweeten all the judgments, all the harsh decrees against the Jews. Why? Because it's the shofar that brings about this severing between the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Once those two are severed, it means there's a severing between the Jews and the Umay Salam. Now it becomes distinguishable. It's not as if anybody can come and say it's the same thing. Now we see that there is a difference. Once we see a difference, now things come out good for the Yidden. If Esav cannot come and say, hey, they're all the same, the Jews are no better than the Goyim, that's what brings about a sweetening of the din. The minute we show that the Yidden are unique, are special, that's what gets their sins forgiven, and that's what gets Hashem to treat them differently. She'oz royin u'makirin chashivas Yisrael. Alkein, and then, ein lohem oid pischein peh lahalshinu lakatreik v'ligzor gzeres chas v'shama Yisrael. Now, the goyim, or the angels in heaven, don't have any opening to be able to speak against the Yidden, to try to arouse harsh decrees against the Jews. Why? Me'achar shehakol royin milos v'chashivah shel Yisrael. Once all are able to see the advantages and the superiority of the Jews, afilu shel hageruah shebigruim, even in the lowest of the lowest of the Jews, through the fact that the Jews now are able to draw this new type of Torah, after the Torah has been perfected, where it's not one big cholent with the Chumash and Gemara mixed together, but where each one stands alone as an entity unto itself, therefore, where the Torah Shebal Peh is severed from the Torah Shebichsav, where we know what to write down, what not to write down, that's how we're able to distinguish, to see apart a Yid, even the lowest Yid, from all the nations of the world. Now here, Rav Nosson Zal took two concepts which seem to be completely unrelated. You couldn't imagine that they have anything to do with each other. The Avodah on Rosh Hashanah, the Kabbalistic Avodah on Rosh Hashanah, and the practical Avodah on Rosh Hashanah, in other words, the blowing of the shofar, this, that subject, plus this other subject, about the concept of distinguishing between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, how that's what makes the distinction between a Jew and Lahavdil Goyim, and Rav Nosson Zal showed how these two are identical, literally. Once a person understands the terminology in Kabbalah, what represents Zohar, what represents Nekeva, what represents the Shechina, what represents Tiferes, automatically you see how these items are just representative terms for what's actually taking place. And that in essence, these two are one and the same. And this is part of the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah. Now we understand the association between Rosh Hashanah and the holiday of Shavuos. How both of these, why by both we find this Kol Shofar being used? Because on Shavuos, when Hashem presented the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, it was presented, both Torahs were presented, the Torah Shebichsav was presented in the form of the Ten Commandments, and then Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven for 40 days and 40 nights to learn the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah. So too on Rosh Hashanah, we discuss this in the Shemoneh Esrei, when we discuss the whole act of Hashem giving the Torah to the Jews on Har Sinai, our purpose for the discussion in conjunction with the blowing of the shofar is, the purpose of the shofar is a knife. It's a searing sound that slices and severs the male and female apart, the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, in a manner where they can be rejoined in a constructive way, in a manner where a yichud is performed, which is Meilid Shefa for the Jews, in a manner where the Jews can be distinguishable from among the Umay Soilam, which the minute that's done, everything is A-OK. It's only when the Goyim, when the nations of the Goyim, or the angels of the Goyim, can come and say that there's no difference between the Yid and Lahavdil the Goy, that's when we're a lot of trouble. This is why Bilam HaRosha acknowledged Hein Am Levodod Yishkoin, that the greatest praise of a Jew is when you can recognize him apart, when he's not assimilated, when he doesn't look assimilated, when he doesn't dress like the Goyim, he doesn't act like the Goyim.